Let's begin. By humbly acknowledging our ancestors, your grandmothers, your grandfathers, your great-great, and I will do an invocation to the devas, and hopefully one will come and join us, at least one. Samatha Chikilavalasu Antraga Chantu Devata Sadama Muni Rajasa Sunatu Sagamukadam Sagi Kami Charope Giriti Taratiti Chanti Leka Wamani Pepe Rata Tegame Turuanega Hane Watami Kate Puma Jayantu Dewa Jaiva Tayla Visami Yaka Gandabana Tetante Santi Keyamuni Wawa Wachacham Sadomi Sunantu Buddha Sawana Kalo Ayam Vedanta Dhamma Sawana Kalo Ayam Vedanta Sangha Sawana Kalo Ayam Vedanta What am I doing in here? Oh boy. Yeah. What is Ralph doing in here? What about you? As we go through our daily activities, as you're working your, are you working your practice? You know, there's the Dharma teachers. This teacher that has this name, and I'm sure you have different ranks for different teachers in, yeah. I'm sure you do. Yeah, you do. And then there's various kinds of Dhamma talks. And then there's your practice. You may have a 5-minute practice, 10-minute practice. Some of the veteran students, you may have an hour, two-hour practice, AM and PM. Oh, that's formal practice. Let's call it that. Yeah. And then your informal practice is you're walking around in your daily activities. Hopefully in this talk, your formal practice will graduate to 24/7, 24 hours. You know, you are interpreting sign languages. Yes. You're listening. Not just you, but we. We are talking. We are writing. Translating. Different qualities of listening, especially if you're blind. Yeah. Listening with your entire body. But hopefully you will learn how to do that as well. texting, chatting. I know you're chatting right now. Or you may be stroking your animal or your two-legged animal next to you, your partner or friend. So what are you doing in there? As you're doing that, what are you doing in there? There is a flow of consciousness. For those of you who are 30 and under, or 35 and under, yeah, there's this intenseness that's going on. Starvation in Africa, the biggest ever. And the Ukraine, just notorious, just bodies dropping. War is going on. Those of you who are 60 and over, wow, it's happening again. So here's this flow of consciousness. And this flow of consciousness is, it doesn't belong to you. It doesn't belong to me. We came in the form and we began to entertain, manipulate, and utilize this flow of consciousness to be in this world. Somebody gave us a name and we perhaps kept it or changed it, but it was made up. And this flow of consciousness is happening when the body is vertical or horizontal. We respond to it and relate to it differently. And it affects us in a way where our experience of this flow could be seriously discontent within ourselves. And we know that. In the last 24 months, for example, suicide has went from like this to like this. And it hasn't even slowed down. Then all other kinds of crimes are increasing. So what are we doing in here? I looked up the birth and death rate a few days ago. Let me share this with you. 3.09, which really means three. Yeah. Every time I pop my finger, three people step or transition out of their body. The death rate is almost 4.5. The birth rate is 4.5. 4.5. So we have, there's more of us coming in than going out. What does that mean? I mean, it's, we don't have the infrastructure for it globally, for all of us. So the intensity is constantly going to continue to rise for the next few or several years. So it's important to, I like to call it my personal trainer, mindfulness, to have it with you, sitting down, walking with us. From moment to moment, from breath to breath, we in the Western world, we tend to take it for granted that when we say goodbye to our mom or to our kid or goodnight to our pet, that we will wake up in the morning or we say goodbye to somebody in the street or on the telephone, or on the computer, or on the cell phone. Compared to people who see deaths all the time, like what's happening in Ukraine or over in Africa, where death is happening all the time. Imagine being 9, 10 years old, and there's your mom just died, or your dad just died, or the other way around, you being a dad or a mom. So it's in your face from moment to moment. We in the West, we have to not forget. No, we have to constantly, as we go through our activity, investigate, analyze. You have the skills. You know, it's not that we don't have the skills. Even if you are new to meditation, which I doubt that very, very seriously, but don't put yourself down that you don't have the skills. You have the skills. We have the skills. Oh, boy. But we just need to utilize it in an appropriate way. Asking yourself that question helps you to make adjustments. Talking like this, like Ralph is talking right now, it's didactic way. It's been confirmed. Let's see, you perhaps feel the sound of my voice. I'm pretty sure you do, not perhaps. So sound travels 500 miles per second. It's faster in the water than in air. Light travel, I believe 186,000 miles per second. Because of technology, science has confirmed that awareness internally, our awareness, our intention when we put it in action, is faster than the speed of light. So, from moment to moment, making adjustments with the insight, what am I doing in here? What am I doing in here? You know, what is your motivation? Being persistent. What can you do to motivate you as you go to your daily activity? As you hear these different kinds of news, or as we hear these different kinds of news, and hearing it again and again, disturbing news I'm talking about. Assessing the body, looking at the body. This is where our health comes in, analyzing that, looking at that. I hope you know your labs. If you don't know you, then you have to depend on somebody else to know you. And that's a personal decision. There's so many people drive their car and don't know the workings of it and just give it to the mechanic. Okay, this is broken. It's not working right. Could you do something? And then just jump back in and just start driving it again. And we can do the same thing with the body. But you know what I mean. Health is becoming bigger and bigger and bigger. And what goes in our mouth, our food is amazing medicine. It's amazing medicine. You don't know how amazing it is until you change your diet or different kind of nutrition and wait about maybe 2 to 4 months and wow. Affects us on so many different levels. So it's important. Why is it so important for us to be healthy? Because we have to be a lighthouse for others. It's so important these days. We have to be an example for our friends, for people who don't even know us. Then our speech, there's our body with the health, then our speech. And the most difficult part of the speech is internally. We need to get a handle on that. We just can't let that slide by anymore. Let it run wild, in other words. Our internal dialogue to ourselves, or just speaking internally. Just rambling, in other words. We need to get a handle on that. You know what you need to do, but you need to get a handle on it. You have the skills. So I'm speaking to you not as if you are a rookie, because you're not. You are experienced. Because you're a human being on the planet. That's why you are experienced. You've had a lot of opportunities to fall down, and you got back up. And you took time out of your life to spend a little bit of time with this person named Ralph. So you have experience. Speech is a big deal. Don't let yourself fall in the trap of the sense of unworthiness. Treasure yourself. Treasure yourself. Don't wait for somebody else to treasure you. And even if someone else treasures us, if we don't treasure ourselves, you know, the percentage only can go up to a certain point when somebody else is treasuring us. And that certain point is usually less than 25%. Yeah, it's very low. But when we begin to treasure ourselves, wow, yes. But it takes work. In a gentle way, treasure yourself. Not saying being tender is the management of tenderness, because we all been stepped on, misused, and abused. All of us. In so many different ways, physically or mentally. I think I was 4 years old, yeah, when my father was slain by what you would call it. I'll just give the initials, because that's pretty much known around the globe now. By the KKK, by the Ku Klux Klan. Back then in the 50s, you know, blacks couldn't do anything then. Of course, in America, race was already separated. So it was a pretty intense time. And as a kid, getting that, you know, emotions and so forth, and growing up, coming up in the childhood, and where my family lineage is just neck deep in Christianity. Oh, ran to church for to the present day. But as a kid, walking in the church on Sunday morning, seeing this person as a kid, white, on the cross, just says, "Suffer little children, come unto me." Very confusing, very confusing. So I'm just sharing that little piece there to emotions. Yeah, it just, we all been stepped on, misused and abused. All of us. But you know the best part, you know, it's not who we are. And this is the beauty of the practice. This is not us. One of the biggest things I hear or used to hear when I used to do retreats and all of that with other teachers, pain, pain, pain. And I hear other practitioners would say, oh, I'll trade your physical pain for my mental pain. Just pain, pain. But as one master said, boy, if you let that English word of pain, or it could be a French or German, it doesn't matter. But if you let that word pain come into your head, it already won. It got you. Just change the language. No, just call it sensation. You can call it uncomfortable sensation, but you changing the language, change the whole army that comes with the word pain. And you'll be surprised with you and your practice. The water is rough. Water is rough. That's okay. That's okay. And you have the skills, like I said. The thing is that we don't know how long the water's going to be rough. We don't know how long the discontent, the misery is going to be. We just don't know how long. Why we don't? And we want to know. We want to know. But we only in charge to a certain extent. What does that mean? Remember, there's nature. There's the elements. Earth, wind, fire, water, the four great elements. As the Buddha said, the great elements, whoa, there's nobody above the great elements, not even myself. So, in other words, are you going to learn to be humble? And understand that water is wet, in other words, you know, this is the four basic elements right here. And then we live in nature, the four basic elements. So the practice is, one of the biggest thing in the practice is finding balance. Constantly working on finding balance. And it's always changing. 24/7. This is changing. This is changing. So we got to find a dance. Or find the rhythm. Whatever language you want to play with. You don't have to be gloomy about it or anything now. There's the joyful. It's I don't know if I can be joyful for an hour. Maybe. I don't know. But content, yeah. I could be content. For 60 seconds, let's do something right now. I want everyone to just hum inside. And as you hum, take your awareness, your attention, and move it from your feet to your calves. Just humming right now. To your thighs. To your pelvic. Low back. Oh, that feels good. Yes. Belly region, to your chest, upper back, our legs, our arms, I meant. The shoulder girdle, the neck. Head, hump. Now the body, just hump. Just for 5-10 more seconds. Okay, yeah. Now notice the difference. You may not be joyful, but you're content. You're content. And then you put your own flavor or humness in there. And you begin to expand that contentment. And may lead to joy. Don't know. But you're doing the practice. Now there's a level of satisfaction, and each one of us have our own personal level of satisfaction. Nobody knows that except us. And the only way you will know that is to, what am I doing in here? Practice. You working it. This is where you can bring in visualization also, just for a moment. Remember I did at the beginning, I said, visualize your, I didn't say the word, but bringing in your own ancestors, your grandparents, and so forth. And look at your own lineage. 5-10 generations back. We existed, yeah. All of us, our lineage. Yeah. Changes us. If you take your lineage right now and go all the way back to the 12th century, for example, your lineage, or our lineage, right? And call them up and have them stand right behind you, to the side of you. There's so many in the room, they have to be on top of the building, outside the building. It's filled the entire sky behind you. Yeah. Can you see that? Can you feel that? It changes you. Yeah. You never was alone. You just need to open your eyes and wake up. What are you doing in there? Yeah. Then there's our lineage. Wow. This lineage right here. Let's see. 154 people. This lineage right here. 154. That's a good number. No coincidence. Half of 108. 54. What are we doing in here? Yeah. The human family. Oh, boy. I mean, it's amazing what the human family is doing. Well, let's see. We've got together all the way down to high school, sending packages over to the Ukraine. George Floyd, not just blacks running up and down the streets like in the 50s, but blacks, white, Jewish, Spanish, human beings, the human family. We're tired of this. Wow. What are you doing in here? You know, if that doesn't make you feel good, oh, man. All living things. It is, you know, when you go walking in nature, all living things. I heard someone said today, yeah, when I walk by a tree, Ralph, I say hello. I greet that tree. Just acknowledge it. Yeah. What are you doing? It's a good feeling. Doesn't have to be just a pet. All living things. Walking is wonderful. Especially during these times. No. The lymphatic system in the body, I call it the garbage truck route. you know, the waste management in our system. But the only way it works is the body has to be moving. That's why in Western medicine, one of the most common prescription that's given out is walking. Powerful process, but we're taking it to a whole nother level here. Whole nother level. And we all have to play our part on the planet. I'm continuing to play my part, not dropping out. No, not just like being a senior citizen or something like that, in other words. We all play our part. But again, that's a personal decision, but it's a good feeling, like it feels good right now, just being here in this community that we are cultivating what we are feeling at this very moment. Oh, feels so good. Yes. From moment to moment. No, cherishing that. Because there's so many people who can't and just don't know how. There's so many people that have, instead of right view, they have the wrong view. Right speech, wrong speech. Instead of right livelihood, the wrong livelihood. And that flow of consciousness, it's, the suffering is just immense. But I'm just talking about the joy in this coming stream there that we have an opportunity you can choose to work with as well. My grandfather said, "What?" When I was a kid, "Remember, it doesn't matter what you do out there." You know, meaning is getting off the island. Going out in the world is a big deal, especially when you was locked down with colored hair and white hair. You know, I think it was pretty expensive for the system. And two sets of bathrooms, you know, at a gas station or bus station or something like that. You know. But going out, it's like leaving this planet, going to Mars or Jupiter or something like that. And he said, "You know, we live right next to the ocean, a couple of miles." He said, "Remember, boy, you're just a grain of sand on that beach. That's it. Remember that." It took me a while to grasp that. Knowing that grain of sand came out of the ocean and eventually will go back in. And if you crack open a grain of sand and put it under a high power microscope, there'd be a speck of salt water there. That's all of us. So it's a personal decision if we want to find out really awakening. How it works before our bones decide to drop, to stop, so we can continue on with life. At least we know what to do and how to do it. But we're still in these bones and we have to be a model. And it takes work. And what's the most potent medication? Medication, what's the most potent one? Is our intent. Intent. And if we take it and put it in action, our intention. Yeah. But when you stop and know that's our, my most potent and most important, medication, not just for me, but for society, is my intent. The opportunity to cultivate concentration is always there because we are always doing something. It's just that if you connect it with awareness, then the cultivation is happening. It's like having a knife in a sharpening stone. The knife is awareness and the stone is the object. And that object could be communication, listening, all those different things that I've just mentioned. You know, you understand what I mean. And they can be disconnected and never touching each other or touching each other occasionally, like in the a.m. or the p.m. when I do my formal meditation practice. Or it can be consistently. I'm constantly working on having that awareness on that stone, cultivating concentration, and evaluating it as I do that. That's my insight. And I'm gaining knowledge about me on how I work as I do that. I'm just like most of you, I don't know, maybe. I'm a rebel. Always been, you know. Like they say, okay, here's the format, Ralph. Meditation first, then you give a Dhamma talk, then we do a question and answer. And I said, okay, I have to do what feels right in the moment. What do you doing in here? What's working right? What's working right now? Yeah. It's right now because this moment is all we have. So we need to step up. I'm asking all of us to step up and be our own physician. This is working with the nobility. You know, that there's the suffering in that stream of consciousness, the flow. There's the illness, in other words. Then we have to diagnose it, the cause of it. We have to treat it. Then we give ourselves a prescription. You know, we make the adjustment. That's when the Eightfold Path comes in to assist us, bringing that in there. And when we're doing that, then we're working with the Dhamma. Then we're doing Dhamma practice. This is what the Buddha gave us. It's amazing he came up with this analogy, where every physician, healer, shaman, or whatever on this planet utilized those four. That's why it's called the Four Noble. And working with this flow of consciousness. If you're not doing that, being your own physician, then you're doing something else. It's a personal decision, huh? Yeah. That's right. It's up to you. It's up to me. It's up to Ralph. Final piece before we take this and sit for a little bit, then we'll have a Q&A. What am I doing in here? You can use this as a mantra. Use it as a mantra. Well, what does it do for me if I use it as a mantra, bro? Well, you know, the way you're going to find out is the experiment. Huh? I don't know you. You don't know me. I'm in here, you in there, and we are in here. One of my Thai masters, Lumpu Cha, Ajahn Chah, would say, as he's sitting, you know, these different things come up. His mantra would be, no business of mine. Another great master I had the privilege of practicing with is Kala Rinpoche, he would say. We live in a world of illusion. There is a reality. We are that reality. Once you realize this, you will know that you're everything, and in everything, you're nothing. Lumpu Sumedho would say, a senior monk, also in the Thai forest tradition. This will take us into our meditation. He would say, at the beginning of a retreat that he would be teaching us, he would say, you want to get enlightened? Let's get it on. So let's sit for a little bit, huh? Get yourself nice and comfortable. Whatever fits you right now. And slowly, with grace and kindness, as if you're holding an infant. This is how we want to hold us. Breathing into your legs, into our legs, into the pelvic. Low back. Upper back. Take your time. You don't have to go at my guidance. The belly. The chest. Shoulder girdle. The arms, neck, the head, soften the jaw, letting the upper lip rest on the lower lip. Letting your eyeballs, if your eyes open or close, doesn't matter. Let them be level. Soften the muscle on the forehead. Don't let yourself be distracted by the various kinds of vibrations or sound, frequency. Let's just give the physical body some attention first, please. Soften the muscles that turns the eyeballs. Just keeping it level as much as you can. Let's drop back down into the pelvic, the anus, soften that sphincter muscle. Just soften it. Notice how it opens up the entire pelvic floor. And coming back up between the shoulder blades, the rhomboids, those muscles that connect from the inside of the shoulder blade underneath to the spine. Major and minor, it's just as wide or tall as the shoulder blades. Soften that muscle or put your attention on it. And from the inside, where if someone was observing you, it's not even noticeable. You want to bring your shoulder blades together just a little bit, just a little bit. Feel how it releases. Letting the ears be aligned with our shoulders. So that means that most of us maybe have to take the skull in or head and just move it back a little bit, and we'll feel a little tension in the neck because the muscles is just not used to being that aligned. It will soften. Having the attitude or the intent of the top of the head attempting to touch the ceiling. Ever so gentle, feel the pressure off the low back. Notice how he's breathing. Feeling the sensation of the chest as it rises, or the upper torso as it swells up and goes back down. Slowly, slowly allowing our attention to shift more to the vibrations or sound that you're feeling or hearing. With our inner voice, just say the words, find the right pitch, the right volume, just a few times. finding the right volume and the right pitch. Space, spaciousness, space. Notice what happens to the physical body. Let it teach us. Where we know at this very moment, we are one. visualizing our planet. And holding it, bringing our planet and holding it in our heart, in our chest, or on the out breath, giving our planet, kindness, love, tenderness, intelligence, wisdom. And take note of mental insight you may have gained from this experience. And slowly begin to open your eyes or have some liquids, stretch. Yeah, we have some good time for questions or comments. Before you do that, I want to really extend my thank you to Myrna, Caroline, Martine Atwood. It wasn't for them, we wouldn't be here. And all the other staff that's behind the scene. Write a big fat check for these people. Don't go overboard, you know, take care of yourself, but be kind. This is how it works. All right. You're welcome. Yeah, I know it's pretty hard to have questions, and I purposely did it like this. But, you know, it's, our comments is, it's good to be with you all. Yeah. We all know that. Yeah, man.
Thank you. That was so beautiful. And so topical, I think, for all of us. But I'm just so grateful for the synchronicity of these things. That's what I needed to hear today. My question for you is that I have a number of friends and relatives, and one very, very close friend who's closer to me than a brother, as it says in the Bible, who is suffering terribly from a deep, deep depression and suicidal urgings. And I'm on the West Coast, he's in New York. So we spent some time together a few weeks ago, but I'm trying to keep in contact with him and keep encouraging him, because he's going through a very, very dark time and he's relatively isolated. And everything you said today, I've been taking notes, so many beautiful things. And I want to share these thoughts with him because they're so relevant. But I don't want to overwhelm him or feel like, it's just such a difficult, sensitive thing to try to encourage and love someone. And like you said, be a lighthouse or a beacon, but not, blind the person with your light. So I just wondered if you could give me some words of advice in that relationship. Thank you.
You're welcome. Relationship is what it is. It's a relationship. And if you can see that person as a relationship with, like you have a relationship with your spouse, if you have one, or a relationship with a kid when you raised it, you're constantly making adjustments. Constantly making adjustments. And those adjustments is only to be made in the moments. It can't be pre-planned, because you're working with another vibration, and that person that's, like you said, is in a dark place and trying to find out who they are, and you're trying to find out who you are. And however, you have some mileage in managing you, and the more you manage you, the more efficient you can be with the relationship with him. In other words, the better the dance, I like to call it a dance, or the more you can get in rhythm with that person. Because one thing you do have is the love. And that person loves you, obviously, because that person reached out. And so it's up to you, not up to that person. It's up to you to find that connection. And that connection may last maybe 30 seconds, 60 seconds. When you make that connection, you both can feel it, just like we just did here. And the biggest job in working with, one of the biggest jobs in working with emotions is getting our sense of self out of the way. Understanding our sense of self has a place. It's great, and it has a place, and we have to manage that.
Thank you. Thank you. So wise and so beautiful. Thank you.
You're welcome. Just being in this space of nonverbal. It's, of course, we have to dance with our sense of self in here to try our best to keep it quiet, so we can just, you can say, soak it up or continue to learn how it works. And this is why we really another word for love is that it's so amazingly delightful and just off the charts. We just don't have another word besides love. It said there's a question in the ask question area. Okay, help me out, Ralph. Here we go. How do you balance being firm with someone as well as being compassionate? Oh, it's a delicate balance. And it's different with regards to who the relationship is. I'm speaking age-wise. If it's with someone younger that's unruly, then you're working with the temperament. And you have to be, well, that could be with someone that's older as well. It doesn't matter. Yes. You're working with this dance of someone that's in the area of perhaps anxiety or moving in that direction. And some of the best medication is what we are experiencing right now, resting in the sound of silence, for example, learning how to do that, as well as stories are some of the best medication. The other one, you know, in memory have intent. And then when you take a story, then you have to be careful how you tell the story. Sometimes you can't give it to the person all at once. And usually the younger the person is, I found out personally, then I give it to the person in sound bites. If the person is older, then you have to use your own measuring stick with regards to, and you will know that as you are speaking with that person. And constantly reminding the person, I like to use the analogy that the reality that the water is wet, so it being compassionate and being firm, it's the two goes together as wisdom, especially when you're guiding someone and managing someone to a certain extent. That's important, the extent part, because nobody likes to be locked down or managed. Unless they volunteer. Once you get the heart and they volunteer, then it's a different story. But in the beginning, it's a very, very delicate dance because we all actually want to be free. Hi, Ralph. You mentioned humble, which I like much, and you mentioned our planet, which sound in my ears possessive. How to bring the two together? How to bring them together? Being humble in our planet. Sound in my ears possessive. Well, you're getting caught in words and, words, English. English is my second language, and it's an interesting language. And in the English language, there's different kinds of languages in the English language. That's why, as we have a book for authorship and to manage language and everything. So I'm just speaking. And so perhaps if the word I said to you, don't take it 100% plus, look at the planet and make it work for you, as well as learning how to be humble, because on both sides, the planet and being humble, my humbleness is different than yours, and my way of being with the planet is different than yours. So you need to find your way. And the only way you're going to do that is to pay attention and to practice. Yeah. Thank you for your question. Quieting the sense of self. Boy, these are where, noting the breath, mantra practices, walking practices. But the most important thing, I just came out of a retreat myself, a self-retreat, that is, and 28 days. And as a monastic, when I was a monastic in retreat, 18 hours a day of practicing was no big deal, okay? And so the first day, yeah, I told my class, the first day I sat for 3 hours, I said, ooh, that's too much, afterward. My bones are 72 years old. So I backed off and began to be gentle. And it wasn't until around the 24th day or something like that where I got up to around 12, 14. Hours a day of practice, but it took that amount of time to get there. Like 4 hours a day, from 2 hours a day to 4 hours a day, and maybe 6 hours a day, and then 8 hours a day, and just practicing. And it is, and so what I'm saying to you, with regards to quieting the mind, it takes time, but perseverance or being persistent in your practice. The humming, for example, I got that from my grandmother, Sister Mary. She'd be in the garden humming, washing the clothes. Doesn't matter what she's doing. If she's not singing, she's humming. And it is, you look outside the body, I was a child, but as an adult, as a child, I heard my cousin, adult, there's so much suffering going on. This person had to run in with the Ku Klux Klan or something like that. It's just horrible stories. And in this, just like what's happening presently on our plane of existence. You look one way, there's a hell zone, and you look other way, there's joy, like right now. And so it's understanding how you work, and the most important piece with practice is patience. Perseverance and patience. Being persistent. Being consistency. And you see that. You see that in any professional, how they got to where they are, the Olympians, it doesn't matter. Football players, basketball players, track dancers, musicians, persistence, again. Well, okay, this is what we're taking on. We just happen to be new at this. I know I'm new at it. I don't have like my mom or my dad or first generation. I think this is all of us pretty much around the globe here. And so you will be so surprised with yourself as you build consistency with practice, how quiet your mind began to come. You don't want it, this last piece, you don't want it to happen immediately. Why? Because you won't be able to handle it. because you would think something is wrong. After having worked with childhood trauma, I managed the mind's dance. The body though will not be convinced how to not be disappointed. Well, the body is our foundation. You know, and, I one of my classes is titled Embodying Emotions with somatic meditation, body meditation. And there's no chit-chat, for example. No crosstalk, anything like that. Nobody knows the other person's story because we're working with the body. It's the body that bears the burden. So we are taking what dancing with or feeling right now and learning how to utilize it and work with each other. And the maximum 4 to 7 is in each class. And so the mind thinks it knows everything. You know, this is the grain of sand on the beach. Okay. And so this needs to listen to this. And sometimes it can be very difficult because especially yeah, maybe 2 PhD, 2 MDs, or neither one, and still you very, 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 very well read and everything. And that's great. That's excellent. Not great. This has the data, but this is what's carrying the burden. Okay. So this is the infant. This is what we need to be gentle with. You know. Yeah. I mean, you put this all together. Remember, I said Dhamma. And practicing the Dhamma, it took me 45 minutes or close to get you to hopefully to realize that and know that the word Da, you take it, the phonetic meaning, Da is cradle, and Ma, be cradling the mother, you know. I guess this is my last question because we're coming to an end here, but Dhamma, Ma, the mother. And the masculine and the feminine is in each one of us. And we need, that's another balance we need to, it takes some time to find that dance within us. It just takes time, but not forgetting that, oh, wow, the moment is so precious. And it just, it's beyond words, for example, just to be with you in this moment, and for us to cherish this, you know, and knowing that as long as we are practicing and being like we are now, we'll always be here together, always. Okay. Always loving you. Always loving you. Thank you. Treasure yourself.